It's a new year in the church and the end of the world in the readings, and that's not by accident. Before we think about the first coming of our Lord as a baby, we think about the second coming on the clouds of heaven, when nobody will have any doubt that there is a God or that our lives had meaning. And so we are fortunate to know that in advance that this is going to happen. He says, be vigilant, because I'm very likely to catch you by surprise. He does that almost every day, actually. If we have the eyes to see it, God is around us, constantly speaking to us and helping us to live our lives. There was one time, some years ago now, it happened because I noticed that this also needed fixing again this week, is that I went over, this time of year, it starts to get dark, although today it's not one of them. And so I went over to the kitchen and I turned on the light and I thought, God, it's getting awfully dark in here. I wondered, it says there's something wrong with my eyes, you know? And so I looked up, this sounds very dumb, but you know, I looked up and it looked like there was one of the fluorescent bulbs out. I had one of these fixtures with fluorescent bulbs in them in the kitchen. So I couldn't get the hatch off this thing. So I had one of the guys come over and I think we broke it to get it open. But when we got it open, there wasn't just one tube burnout, there were three out of four burned out in there. It was down to one bulb before I realized that it had, you know, basically almost run out of light before I realized that it was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And at that point, I realized there's something wrong. And that's, to me, that's always been a metaphor of how in the spiritual life and in other parts of our lives, we can begin to slowly lose something until suddenly we wake up and it's not there anymore. You think of a friendship you may have had in high school or earlier in your life, and you move and they move, or we move on and we don't keep in touch like we ought to, and it begins to grow less and less frequent that we speak. We have to work on it if we want to keep our relationship going. That can happen with couples too. And it also can happen with Jesus, that we can find ourselves moving further away without even realizing that something is slowly dying. The flame is getting smaller and smaller until one day it goes out. We wonder what happened. Well, it started happening a long time ago. We've been through this 2 years of, well, it had been quite 2 years of COVID, but I can't remember anymore what happened when. You know, that's part of it, getting older, I guess. That I said last night, that kitchen is the only dim bulb in the kitchen. That you know, but I believe last Christmas we had a number limit of 100, so we had two family masses that year, which is a lot of work. And but in the midst of all that, and that was a lot of people compared to the 10 and then 25 we had earlier. And during that period, for various reasons, many could not come. And if you can come right now, this is a very good time to be coming back to church, because we are people of communion. We are meant to be with each other, to support each other. And that said, we're going to keep the live stream going for those of you who can't make it here for various reasons. It's been a blessing. But if we couldn't come, was our faith getting dimmer and dimmer? If I was a Sunday Catholic and didn't do anything else, I might find that I was slipping. But a lot of people were watching, and they were actually, and some of you are today, and making this a special time. One shouldn't be having breakfast during Mass if you're at home. You know what I'm saying? We make it a special time. If you're not, then think about what you're doing. You are in church with us right now. And one thing is, during that period, we sat down, I mentioned it before, and as a staff, we just sat down. It was a Friday afternoon when this came down that we were going to be closing, which really was amazing. It was shocking because it had never happened all over the world in the history of the Catholic Church. So, well, we decided we were going to stay as open as we could while being safe at the same time. So one of the things that people took advantage of here was just that on Sundays, we kept the Knights of Columbus, we had the church open for prayer, keeping the numbers, you know, at what we were supposed to be in the two rooms here. And a lot of people took advantage of that here. A lot of churches either didn't think of it, or they didn't have the people willing, you know, to keep tabs on that. And that kept a lot of people going. And hopefully all of you grew in the Spirit, because we'll look back at it. please God, I don't want that to come again. But we have passed through a very unique period in church history, U.S. history, world history. But these are our times, and God has a plan for us. We find that periodically it may look like God is very far away, but really sometimes he's deliberately hiding himself so that we'll go seeking him deeper. You know, when I was first entered the seminary, it felt like God never stopped talking to me. He was nagging me to get in into the seminary. It was like a telephone that wouldn't stop ringing. And then as soon as I got in the seminary, it was like, hello? The line went dead. There was nobody there. It was God's way of saying, all right, I got you where I want you. Now you're on your own here for a while. I had to go seeking deeper. And so our Lord, if we pick up on his frequency, he'll call us to something deeper. For example, last year, it was just one of those weird things, is the Advent booklets just simply didn't come in. And I felt pretty bad about it because we all needed a spiritual pick-me-up. And this year, they came in, believe it or not, on Wednesday evening, so they were late again. I'm thinking, please, Lord, not again with this company, you know, the Magnificat there, and for various reasons. So this year you have an opportunity. It's just one small thing, but each day is a different author. I like those kind of books rather than a one-author book. If you don't like the author, out goes the book, right? With this one, you've got a variety of writers. Maybe one of those little vignettes might change your life, you know? You just never know. I have something on my desk. I move it around so I don't get used to it. It's called Being Vigilant as a Priest. And it's just, it talked about my life as a priest, but it applies to your life equally. That quality of vigilance in which we are aware of an opportunity God might be offering us to make some kind of difference in somebody's life. You know, there's just so many opportunities for this to happen. I'm not just talking about all the various ways that we've been able to help people with the Giving Tree. You got the fair trade tables this week, but it's also just running into people and trying to make a difference. And if we blow it, to go home in the evening and have a little examination of conscience. Where did I see God today? Where did I miss him? Where did I have the wrong reaction? Sometimes and this is something I have to remember every morning because I never feel good in the morning. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I always say, oh God, not again. But then I get over it after my first cup of coffee. You know, it's a birth defect. Everyone in my family has the same problem. We're like two electrons that won't come near each other, you know, like a magnet. But anyway, what was I talking about? Chemistry always was confusing for me, and now it's blunt. Once again, I've been zapped by chemistry. But, you know, you wake up in the morning, maybe I can't change one thing that's going to happen today, but I do have control of my attitude, which mine isn't perfect and yours isn't either, but that's sometimes that will make the difference with somebody. I've been on the phone with a certain company that owes me a gift card for something I turned in and got. It was a phone, okay? And so I've been on the phone now 9 times, and it's a $350 gift card, so Father's going to keep plugging away at it, right? So I got to the 9th one. And, you know, the temptation is to get mad at the person on the phone, but they didn't do anything. You know, I may have to pull out my customer service skills and demand a supervisor on the phone. You know, there are ways to do this, but the temptation to be impolite to a disembodied voice is very great. You know, especially if that voice is in another country and you feel somebody didn't get a job here. That may not be true now since we're seem to be at full employment. But you wonder, you know, because they're in Bangladesh or something, or wherever they are, you know, you get this strange voice and they say, I'm David, and you think, oh yeah, right, you know, and you go from there. But that person is just as valuable as I am. It's not their fault. But it could make a difference in the way I treat them. And so this is, noticing the little things is very, very, very important to God. He says, you know, many people are going to be very surprised at the parting of the clouds. There's going to be this moment at the end of the world, what every generation has thought it was coming in their generation, and no generation has had more opportunities for the end of the world to come than ours with all these weapons that have been developed. But that being said, nobody knows when that end of the world is going to come. But we do know that ours is going to come one day when God, the moment we die, God will part the clouds and he'll simply be right there. And we're going to say, I know I'm going to say this, of course I should have known. I should have known you had everything under control. You said you did. You said you had a plan. Now he's going to show us what it was and our role that we were to have played in it. And I say, Lord, how could we have known? And say, well, I gave you the scriptures at Mass. I gave you the Holy Eucharist. I gave you communion with others. I was speaking to you in not only church teaching, but throughout all your life. Did you pick up on this, that? We might say, well, not really. Well, maybe if you'd prayed a little more, you would be more open to these little events that God is sending periodically to help us see the truth. One that happened to me, it was really interesting, I'll just be real quick with this, is when I was in Yellowstone during that week I was off, there was one place I couldn't get into. I got there, it's a long story, I got there really, things went wrong and I didn't get there when I was supposed to, so I just got in there. If you've ever been to West Yellowstone, I drove in there, which is about a 20-minute drive. There was a blizzard coming, so there was nobody in Yellowstone at all except me. I figured, what the heck, you know. Well, Priuses and blizzards don't go too well, but that's another story. But I got in there. There was hardly anybody there. But there was one little place called, I don't know, I should have looked it up, it's something with the most beautiful colors in the water there. And so I went to Old Faithful, and on the way, I saw everything on the way there. It's only 12 miles from the entrance to Old Faithful, and then, which didn't interest me at all. I'd seen that before, so I went. Then I went back. It was twilight, and the reason I didn't go into the one that was the most famous is because that one alone had a queue of cars, and I'm thinking, it's October. What kind of car jam would there be in July in this place? You know, but I went by there, and it was completely empty, and I thought, oh, let's just go in there, and I made a U-turn and went in, and I caught the whole thing at sunset. You had the beautiful jasmine-like ground and the sunset above, and I've got these gorgeous pictures that people, photographers wait all year long to get. I mean, they all day long waiting for that special moment, which I just caught by accident. And it occurred to me that God had everything under control. It was his way of saying, sometimes I arrange things for you by saying no first and yes later. Did you see me in this moment that I gave you as a gift? That this is a gift. And life is a gift. We just don't see it. We're so used to it. We take everything for granted. And God has a plan for all of us. But he says, I'm going to catch you. Don't let me catch you by surprise today. Don't get so caught up in the next 4 weeks that you don't have time for prayer. Don't make God in the last place in the midst of Christmas. This year may be a little different. Maybe some of us, you know, got our shopping done in advance or whatever, maybe not getting together as much as we used to for various reasons, but whatever the case is, he says that this will look like an assault to some people who aren't expecting God to show up like this, but we shouldn't be surprised because God has a plan for us, and we become ready by being vigilant in the midst of the anxieties of life, in the midst of the cares. God is there with us. He is always with us. We're not going to see the life review and to actually see all the ways God was intersecting with our world until we reach the end and get the explanation. But by that time, all the opportunities will be gone also. The fun is finding Jesus in the midst of it all. So we, again, he says, pray that you will have the strength, and since we don't have the strength, we pray for God's strength, to escape the tribulations that are imminent, like as in today, and to stand with confidence before the Son of Man.